episode 77 of Drunk on Comics. And this Thursday is a very big holiday that many people will be celebrating with family. It's a time of reflection and giving. So we at Drunk on Comics want to wish everyone a very happy Hanukkah.
That is true.
Yep.
Yeah, because, well, that's universal. And we're universal.
We're like Galactus.
Yeah, but Thanksgiving, that's only here in the States.
Yep. So fuck that holiday. We're going to light our menorah.
I don't know. I kind of like eating the turkey and the shit.
Is it Hanukkah starts? No, does it actually, is it the first full day? First full day, okay. So, it actually starts on Wednesday then.
No, because their nights started at midnight.
I thought it was at nightfall.
I did a little research. The more you know. Ding! No, seriously, the next time this will ever... Okay, it's going to happen November 27th, 2070. Thanksgiving will be Hanukkah Eve, so the night before, but they light the candle at midnight, so technically Thanksgiving would be off over then. The next time the first full day will officially happen on Thanksgiving, 77,798 years.
Shit, what episode of that will be for us?
Fuck, man, you busting out the knowledge here today.
I was sober a little bit this week.
At some point.
Well, welcome to Drunk on Comics, everyone.
Thank you.
You gotta stop doing that. You fucking make me laugh every time. This is our weekly podcast where we talk about comics and collecting and sometimes about conventions and other stuff in the industry news, and occasionally there's a nugget for Tony.
Yes.
And speaking of, that's Tony.
Hey, that's me.
I'm Derek. And this is?
Oh, hi. I'm Kevin.
Yeah, they can't see me pointing at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just flipping through, making sure that we didn't miss any hot news items this week.
Well, it's not that we missed the hot news items. It's the hot news items failed to be that hot.
Well, we still got plenty to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about? It's not like we're going to be, ooh, you know what? We should start a new segment. Rumor Mill. and not where we find rumors, we
just
start them.
We just make them up. I kind of like that idea.
All right. I heard, you know, because you had that secret society meeting the other day.
Yes,
I'm sure
yes.
You could give us some nuggets.
I can't. There. Well, it's secret. It's like the artist version of the Illuminati.
But no one listens to us, so no one will hear.
Oh yeah. Well, actually, it's weird. People do listen.
I know.
Yeah. So
and if they're hearing this now, they're obviously listening. So
thanks, listeners.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get shit kicked off here with Off the Shelf. This is where we're going to talk about books that came out this week. You are being warned right now that we may discuss things that happen in the books. And so you may get plot points. You may get, you know, big reveals.
That's funny.
You may get Kevin snickering.
I was just, you know, I'm fucking 12. No, I know I'm 6. Because you said shit, and then I heard you say plot points, and then then in my mind I'm thinking you said plop. So yes,
dude. If there's 6 year olds listening to this, their parents are not doing a good job.
Well, I ever tell you that actually I have a friend who lets his son listen.
Oh, now I'm uncomfortable.
No, I think he's 9. 10, 11.
We've made some very inappropriate jokes.
Oh, I've
that
told
age.
Him, like, dude, maybe you should screen these shows first. Like, wait, that was actually a good idea on my part, because then I can get him to listen to the show. So I don't know if he's still listening, because, man, oh yeah, we throw down some
F-bombs.
Some vulgar comments.
Yeah, some crude things. So, all right, speaking of who wants to be crude,
dude,
first here
you need to start us off because fuck.
All right.
Because of the word fuck.
Because fuck.
Well, no. Okay. Where are you going to...
Oh, that's later.
Okay, that's later. Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. We'll tie in...
I'll get it kicked off here anyway.
Okay, so we're going to go not as vulgar right now.
Right.
Okay.
Off the Shelf, by the way, this week is brought to you once again by inter-comics.com. Go check them out online. They are your online source for all your comic book needs. And something magical just happened.
Yes.
In my pants.
All right. This week, I have got The Wake number 5 of 10 from Vertigo. written by Scott Snyder, art by Sean Gordon Murphy, and colors by Matt Hollingsworth. And I'm going to start by saying that this book is worth the $4 cover price for Murphy's art by itself. Not even going to get into the story until I can gush a little bit over the art in this. I mean, with and it's a combination of both the artwork by Murphy as well as the colors by Hollingsworth. Everything in this book, from panel layout to the tone to the line work to the expressions on the faces of the characters to the big bad thing that's in here that I'll talk about here a little bit in a minute. Every single thing in this is just amazing. I mean, this is one of those perfect books that even if it was written in a language that you didn't understand, you could still get the meaning and the emotion of the story as well as the characters without knowing what was actually going on just by looking at the pictures alone.
This picture is beautiful.
that's called negative space, Tony.
So Tony, my question is, who woke up?
Well, that's actually part of it.
Oh, really? I was just making a stupid comment. But.
Kind of, like, in a way, that is kind of what it talks about. And I'll kind of get into that, because by talking so highly about the art, I don't want to, like, infer that Snyder has done anything less than an incredible job on this book. This is actually one of the things, too, about this, is that you can actually... Tony, obviously you've not read 1 through 4, but this is a 10-part book that you can jump on at issue 5, which that doesn't happen often. I know you had one, Kevin, with mm-hmm. RoboCop here a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the same thing. I mean, like, he gives you enough on here. Now, for those of you at home that have not been reading this, and Tony and or Kevin, this is, very simply put, it's an underwater monster book. But that is an extreme oversimplification. The first 5 issues of this have been kind of setting things up where you have like these marine biologists and all these other people that have gone to this underwater oil rig because they've caught a merman. And it's kind of horror movie-esque in a lot of ways, and it's great because of that.
Is it like a merman off of Cabin in the Woods type merman?
Well, they have like these. I had, like, when I was younger, I had an aquarium and I had a dragonfish, which, Tony, like, they kind of have the face of like those terrifying like deep sea creatures.
Okay. Oh yeah, fuck those things.
Yeah, mixed with a human face. Like, you see that. Obviously, reader or listeners at home can't see that I'm showing the pictures of these scary guys, but
they are scary.
But what they, you know, what this is the wake in this issue. Like, they had these mermen that are roughly the size of us, and then Big Poppy Merman, who's like the size of a fucking skyscraper, comes out, and he more or less or she has awoken or waked. Because I just made awoken a word, so I might as well make waked and not use it in the proper tense. But yeah, so, and what this is that they make a reference that every so often, like with each quote-unquote civilization, whether it was the Egyptians or Romans or, like, you know...
Atlantis.
Yes. That these things wake up and they flood the... they flood, like, our continents so that they can basically reproduce. It's their breeding thing, and that's what causes like Noah and all these other Atlantis, all these other quote-unquote myths throughout time, is that these guys are here. This is the setup before it jumps into the future, which you briefly glimpsed in issue 1. And so, I mean, the really cool thing about this book too, with what Snyder's done, is that, you know, you're reading this book and there's clearly good guys and bad guys down in this underwater rig. And, you know, it's like there's a bad guy who he's basically like this fucking poacher and like this military guy. But at the end of the day, all these good guys and bad guys that you think are good guys and bad guys, you don't care. You're rooting for all of them because they're human and they're trying to save all of humanity. And so that was kind of a nice twist, because you think it's a bad guy, but now it's like, come on, dude, you're pulling for him. And so I thought that was really, really, really nice. Like I said, I mean, you can get everything you need to know from this issue you know, if you can go back and get 1 through 4, I highly recommend it because it's just a fantastic story. And like I said before, I mean, the art is just gorgeous in here. But if you haven't jumped on yet, I'm telling you guys, you really should, especially before it gets into the future story arc, because I don't know how easy it will be to jump on at that point. So that's it. Two huge mugs up on that book for me.
I've never even heard of it. Because when you showed it to me, my first thought was Alan Wake, which is a popular PC game.
I'm not familiar with that one.
All I know is the title. I don't know much about it.
Okay. Actually, you know, there's one more thing I want to say, because it just occurred to me. Like, I was hanging out with our buddy Sidecar Jim yesterday at the local comic shop, and we're just down there checking out stuff, and we're talking about it because he read like issue 1, but he hadn't picked up because he missed issue 2, and now he doesn't want to jump back on. One of the really cool things about this book is that this is, when I said it's kind of like that movie horror movie monster kind of thing, this is actually one of the few books that's out right now that could so easily be adapted into a film that I honestly hope that they do, because it is just, it's made as much for comics as it could be for big screen.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm having a blast with that one. So
yeah, I've just flipping through it. It reminded me of The Abyss.
Yeah, it's kind of like The Abyss and, I don't know, maybe Avatar, and like later on, I'm, you know, a little bit like, if you, well, there's dolphins with jetpacks kind of thing coming up.
Wait. Yeah. Oh, you know, okay. For some reason, I'm thinking of, remember at the same time The Abyss came out, there was also a movie called Leviathan?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Leviathan didn't fare as well as,
no,
as The Abyss.
No, of course not. No, it sucks compared to The Abyss. The Abyss was epic.
Yeah. I remember E.T.
I remember Tremors.
That's a little more relevant than me just throwing out E.T., but...
All right.
Graboids.
Graboids. Kevin, what do you read?
Books.
What would you like to talk about?
Oh, sure. I'll...
I just wanted to hear you go, nope.
No, here, I'll show... So, if you guys ever seen this, we got the Atomic Robo Presents Real Science Adventures.
This sounds like it could be based in truism.
I had no idea what the fuck it was. I'm like, you know what? I was flipping through. Actually, I downloaded this digitally, and I was looking for something different, and a good value. Is it $3.99? No, I can only
digital. I got a problem with that. That's just me personally.
What, $3.99 for digital?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, honestly, that's it's part of the reason why I picked this book up is, yeah, $3.99. I want the I'm more inclined to pick up the physical copy. Now, I have done that in the past where I've picked up expensive books. What was it called? This Is It. I'll have to look up the name. But that was a $10 digital download. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was worth it, though.
Yeah, and it was funny because I remember that one. That was a $15 print.
Yeah, it was book, $15. Though.
It was a $15 print, but I think it was 10 digital. So that, yeah. Like, that I was okay with. You know, I think there should be a discount if you don't have a physical copy that you own.
Yeah,
but that's
well. I'll get the name because actually that book was so good. It was mention worthy again. So now. So we have Indy Turnpike, okay? So I guess where I would be going here would be an obscure one-way dirt road. So since we like making new segments on this podcast, I think that's what we'll call this. Because have you guys ever heard of Red 5 Comics?
No.
Never heard of them. So, but they exist, and they brought to me, again... Atomic Robo Presents Real Science Adventures, number 12. Written by Brian Clevinger, colors by Erica Henderson, and art by M.D. Penman.
Seems like with a name like Penman, you should be the writer.
He's probably using pens to write.
Draw?
Draw.
Shouldn't he be Pencilman and then Inkerman?
Tracer.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. My review is condensed down. You know, I took my normal 72-minute review and consolidated it down to a few minutes. So anyway, I really don't know what's going on in this book.
Neither do we.
Cheers to that one.
But I loved it.
Okay.
So first, you have a bunch of famous people slammed together into a dream team, if you will. George Westinghouse, Charles Fort, Annie Oakley, Harry Houdini, Nikola Tesla. Well, a dream team from great minds of the late 19th century.
Wait, Annie Oakley was a great mind?
What focus did she have so she could be the great gunsmith that she was?
Is that like a woodsmith?
Dude, woodsmith is a thing.
Unlike carpenter.
Yeah, so my mind blanked out a little bit one day, and I couldn't remember what a carpenter was, so I said woodsmith. What's the deal, yo?
Okay, so the gunsmith, because she smiths guns.
Okay, so then you combine those people together in a world similar to Wild Wild West. Remember that Kevin Klein, Will Smith joint?
Yeah.
Okay, remember that? Okay, well, that was a shitty movie, but honestly, that was the first thing I thought of, is you have old-timey era, because this is late 19th century, and then you take some newer technology that would be considered out of place for the time period.
So is it kind of steampunkish?
No.
Okay.
No, because steampunk sucks, and this did not suck. Really? Come on, man. I saw a convention once. I saw a steampunk Ghostbuster.
I've seen one of those that was actually done really well, though.
Yeah. See, maybe I've seen too many shitty steampunk ones, but the dialogue in this is really intelligent, and thank goodness you got a lot of smart people in this book. It was crisp. The art was just beautiful. Here, I'll pass it around to you guys. Because I don't know. I would think this might be bad for me to think so, but I think once you start going into more independent books, and of course, I'm generalizing here, but I always think that the art quality declines the further down the publishing scale you go. Whereas I'm always going to put DC, Marvel, and their parent or sister, brother companies at the top of the list, and then down below.
Well,
but I really really like the art here, and I didn't pick it up because of it, because I picked it up because it was good value and it said science.
Now, well, okay, so you bring up actually a really interesting point that's not necessarily related to this, though, that, because what I actually find when it comes to art styles, for the most, I actually would say, like, a lot of the Image books have better artists than a lot of the Marvel DC books.
Well, I'll put Image in the same category, your A-list publishers.
But then you get into books like Boom and Aspen, you know, who have some really amazing artists there too. But the interesting thing, I get what you're saying.
Okay.
Because I would say, because
generally I don't.
On average, when you're doing the self-published, a lot of times it's guys that are newer, they haven't necessarily, you know, haven't necessarily mastered their craft as much as somebody, say, like a Jim Lee, who's been doing this since the 80s, you know, and is just fucking tearing it up still. Whereas you guys that are new, and there's a reason that they're self-publishing, because they haven't been picked up yet. But at the same time, you got some guys that are amazing, just haven't been seen. Mm-hmm. So occasionally you do come across like a great self-published book or a very small press publisher like this, where you're going to have that like, holy shit moment with an artist. You're like, I can't believe this guy isn't working for, you know, somebody getting paid massive money.
Okay, I got what you're saying. Huh. I wouldn't say a holy shit moment with this book, but definitely it's flirting with it. It's tickling it.
Yeah.
So again, I don't really know what's going on with this book because it's at issue 12, and it appears to be a conclusion to either the story arc or maybe the book altogether. I'm not really sure. So maybe not a great jumping point on, but it does hook me in and make me curious about the other issues and the story that was leading up to it. Now, I'm going to counter my own point to what I just said, is that what I really liked about what they did here was that they didn't assume that you knew who the fuck everybody was in this book, because they actually placed the name of the character, like Harry Houdini. Okay, you know, it's artwork. You're not gonna recognize from the face, like, oh my god, that's Harry Houdini. No, it just appears to be some dude with a mustache. And so what they did is they actually drew out what the name of the character was right underneath their first like the first panel. They threw their name down. And that what is probably what led to my own excitement for this book was all these famous people. So there was this instant draw for me versus letting me just assume I know these characters or picking it up from who they are in the dialogue. So, yeah. But some action, as you can imagine. They got themselves into a crazy situation. They got busted out. I mean, I'm going to probably poorly explain what may have happened in the previous issues by trying to explain what happened in this issue. So I'm going to leave it as that. And then, on top of it all, you get two bonus stories at the end of this book. One actually has the aforementioned Atomic Robo, which I'm assuming is Atomic Robo because he's only referenced as Robo during the story, so I'm just going to assume that. And then you get some sort of crazy spoof of Jurassic Park where you have the raptors actually intelligent and is talking and wants to make soup.
I want to read that.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Well, okay, I totally just fucking lied to you. And it's not soup, but he wants to make a machine that makes earthquakes.
Oh,
well, that's still cool.
It's sort of funny.
How the fuck do you get soup from that?
I'm more interested in a dinosaur that wants to make soup, though.
No, okay. So here, so it concludes by saying, soon as there's a flood or an earthquake, now to build a floodquake machine. So,
sorry, I'm fixated on a Tyrannosaurus Rex making soup because I don't know how he'd get the spoon up to his mouth with his tiny little arms.
No, it is raptor.
Velociraptor?
Yeah.
Eh, more or less same thing. They got tiny arms.
Yeah, they,
they're kind of like the pony version of Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Not in this version because you see he's holding a gun.
Oh.
And he's wielding a gun. So that's Atomic Robo Presents Real Science Adventures number 12.
Go get it.
Yeah, it was a fun time for $1.99.
I have a quick question for you guys.
Just as long as it's quick. Because I think I ran over. Okay. Again.
So what would you guys rather have? Would you rather have that they put the name of the character like right underneath their panel, or would you rather have that they put the name of the character in the speech balloon with it? There. Quick.
Dude, you fucking were like the Micro Machines spokesman right there. Or those
Jimmy John commercials.
Jimmy John's ads. Or
grab a bucket.
Or no, you're trying to give the details to your special car advertisement.
Or this drug may cause anal leakage. You know, kind of thing.
To answer your question, I'd rather have it under though. It seems kind of forced when
it's in the dialogue.
Oh, hey, Nick Cage and full. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah.
I meant to say Luke Cage, not Nick Cage. But,
oh,
but.
Kevin, would you look at that? It's Tony, his brother Matt, and their good friend Jim here in Riverdale.
I mean, yeah, it has to be pulled off perfectly, but really that can only happen in the first handful of issues, because you're in a issue 100, whatnot. You can't. I don't think you can. You can pull it off as well.
Claremont pulled it off all the time, but
he's a fucking tits. So,
yeah. Well, guys, I didn't like Jughead when he was alive. Now that he's dead, well, the less said, the better. That is a great start to Afterlife with Archie number 2, from Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, and art by Francesco Francavilla. This book, hands down for me, was the best this week. And it's weird because I've never picked up Archie until number 1 of this. And what was kind of like, as I said last week with Unity, I knew Exo Manowar in the Valiant world. I at least knew kind of who some of these characters were. And that's great to at least have some establishment, and so that this isn't just a zombie book. Because if I had no clue who any of these people were, it would be a zombie book. And a well-written one, I'll point out, it's really good. But that you know these characters and what they're doing with them just makes it even better. It's not... because everyone's done zombies. I mean, Marvel's did the zombie things, and it was cool the first time. When they did it the 10th time, it was kind of, are you fucking kidding me? You know, what are we doing here? This slow pace, but a pace is quick enough that you see that people are getting infected. And as I said before, not knowing who some of these characters are, but knowing at least enough, I'm still hooked on wanting to see this person alive, this person, you know, not get bit. Someone that made a snide comment. I don't know if fan favorites or people hate them, but I'm like, oh, fuck that bitch. I want her to get bit, you know, type thing. And I was really happy because there was these two chicks who were sitting in a diner, and they were talking about...
Well, it's Nancy and Ginger.
Okay.
And this is where I want to ask Kevin. Kevin, who exactly are Nancy and Ginger? Because you read more.
Dykes. No, I honestly, this was an introduction to me, because I didn't know there were currently other people in the Archie world that were openly gay. Well, I wouldn't say openly, but they were gay, because I know that Kevin Keller is.
Yes. Yeah, and when they said Kevin, I was like, I know that person! Yay!
Yeah, no, that's why I was wondering. Like, I'm not familiar with these characters. Mm-mm. And so I didn't know, but it was kind of an interesting thing, especially the fact that, like, it seems like every time there's a gay character announced in comics, it gets all kind of press, but this didn't, and I'm actually kind of happy about that.
Well, I mean, they've probably been out for a while.
Well, maybe.
Well, when Kevin Keller first came out, it was kind of like page 6 material, but
everyone knew.
But you know, actually though, like this is, I don't mean to pull away from the review on this, I'm interjecting a lot today, you guys need to smack me sometimes, but like I thought though, like, that it was a really cool thing though, that what was it Nancy or Ginger saying in here, she goes talking about how, you know, she's not proud of what, you know, of what's going on. And she goes, it's not what we're doing, but how we're doing it that makes her feel ashamed. And I was like, that is really, really fucking smart writing. You know, just because, like, you know, they're struggling with it. And it shows a real human side in this, A, very fictional world of Riverdale, and B, in a zombie book. Yeah.
Yeah, and just the way that it slowly started off with them being at the high school, Halloween dance, mm-hmm. like, that's a good place where a lot of people could get infected and then spread it out, but it seems like they kind of contained it a bit. It's slowly moving, but in the diner as well, there was another random zombie going that way, so you can kind of see where the infection is kind of spreading. It's not full force, cops are out, people, you know about it, you know, pitchforks and whatever. It's slow, and as the kids try to escape, it's really telling, you know, who's with who. Hands down, when we talk about which comic book, you know, superhero power that, you know, you'd want, I want to be Archie because he fucking is a babe magnet. Like, he's got these two chicks that are just, like, fighting over him in a zombie apocalypse. And I'm like, what the fuck?
And not only those two chicks, but also Cheryl Blossom was at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Like, going there just to try and hook up with Archie. Like, he's got more chicks getting thrown at him than, like, you know.
Chick magnet guy.
Yeah, well, I was going to say something else, but now that I know that there's 11-year-olds that listen, I mean, don't want to say something.
Dude, I mean, now I know what that superhero symbol that he was wearing in this book stands for. Fucking P for pussy, man.
Actually, it's an R, but that's covered up, but we'll go with that for that panel.
See, and actually, that's what I was going to say. But since there's
a P on his thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got more pussy getting thrown at him than Alf. God.
What a great Melmac reference.
So many people aren't going to understand that at all.
Especially our 9-year-old listeners.
Yeah. So, as I was saying, the art in this is great, the story, the pacing, this has me so hooked. And I think one of my favorite, and just the writing seems natural into it, the two nerdy kids kind of were like thinking this is a zombie, you know, apocalypse. Because, yes, and if something like that were to first happen, my mind's not going to straight up think, oh, zombies, because that just seems fictional and weird. And so you kind of see, like, oh, at least they got some smarts in this world. They're not all going to be dumb. Obviously, they locked up Jughead in the school. Hopefully, that doesn't come back to bite them in the ass, literally. But
or the neck, yeah. Or the arm, or anywhere.
But I love how Archie says about to Mr. Lodge, I've been trying to sneak into your daughter's room for as long as I can remember. Yeah. And I know this place is a fortress, so can we stay here and ride this thing out? And I'm like, awesome. They're also smart. Get to the safest location. Mm-hmm. And like I said, not knowing, you know, all these things, of all these characters, I didn't know this guy owned a mansion and all that, because I'm not that familiar with this world. But I'm like,
Veronica and her family are loaded.
Fuck, he needs to choose her then. But just to kind of, you know, end it there, they then also hook you with one of these kids is already infected, but which one? And you're just like, oh, they're fucked.
Yeah.
This is just a great, and then I love reading the extra stuff at the end when they talk about just thoughts on it, the reactions they've gotten from people, because this is one of those things where people can get all, you know, their panties in a bunch like they did when they killed, you know, Peter Parker, and, oh, I'm going to not do that, and blah, blah. Read it for what it is and know that, yes, your characters are going to die in this, but it's great. And it's just something that should be picked up by everyone.
Yeah, and well, and I mean, fucking Frank Avia's art in this is just gorgeous. He does things that nobody else can do.
I really liked his take on Archie himself and on a lot of these panels.
Yeah.
It was just like, because you're always used to seeing him. And now, not everyone has the normal Archie style, larger eyes.
Cartoonish.
Yeah, cartoonish. But
the little round nose.
Yeah, but he's very real in some of these panels. And I think that it's just added so much to this book.
And I'm sitting there looking at one panel of him. It's funny that you said that, because I keep going back to, like, near the end, just the lighting on Archie, where you see the two different color tones. You've kind of got the orangish on one side and the bluish on the other. And he, you know, Frank Avia continues that down in another panel. Just smart fucking use of color in this book. But yeah, that's cool. Did you guys did you guys read Cat?
Yes. I'm happy you brought that up. I actually did not. I actually put this book down, and then this morning I picked it back up just to read it, because I'm like, oh, look at all these words, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna read it, and I enjoyed it. It was nice. It was originally published in the 1970s under the title Chilling Adventures in Sorcery.
Yeah. Now,
I don't think I was really chilled, but I was very...
You were sorceried?
Yeah. I was very entertained.
Yeah.
By the story.
And credit where credit's due on that little story in the back. It was written and drawn by Gray Morrow. But, yeah, kind of cool. So...
Yeah, it's super cool. I got some more follow-up questions for you guys. Let me touch your cover. Let me touch your cover. Because Derek got the variant cover.
Mm-hmm.
Who did the variant cover on this?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I gotta look.
Does the cover feel funny? Funny good?
It feels good.
Yeah, it you know,
it's weird in a good way.
For 299 cents, this is, I don't know, this feels like a more expensive book.
Yeah. By the way, the variant was done by Tim Seeley.
Okay. So I felt like I got really good value out of that.
This goes back to when you guys made fun of me a while back about the thickness. Well, I know in particular
we always
Tony.
Make fun of you. So
well, yeah,
hone it down. Bring it in.
That I was bitching about. I think it was an Image book. I'm trying to remember which one it was.
When you're talking about the paper?
Yeah. And because it was a black and white book, and, like, you could see through the fucking pages. It was something Point. I don't remember what it was. Point of Impact, I think, was it? What was the book? Anyway, it was a while back. But, yeah. No, like, I do love the fact that they've got, like, just fucking great paper stock here. And maybe I'm fucking being bitchy about things, but...
One last thing, Derek, is you're the only one here who's an Apple user. Did you download the Afterlife with Archie app?
No, I keep forgetting to.
Yeah, because I fucking hate it when... I understand, blah, blah, Apple. I don't know where I was going with that. But, God, if you're going to make an app, release it for both platforms at once. I know Apple.
I don't know.
Apple's easier because you're making it for Apple, whereas Android, you have to customize the Android for a slew of different phones. So it's a little bit more difficult. But God damn it, I want it. So because it says extra benefits, I don't know if you could just go. I did not go to the website afterlifewitharchie.com. It could be just simply a link. I don't know, but. I want to know what's going on with the special features.
I'm downloading it as we speak, and it says your source for all things Afterlife.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Can we speak to Peter Parker?
You could if he was dead. But since he's not a ghost, nope.
Yeah. All right. Let's do some news.
Okay. Do some news, Tony. Did I throw you on that one?
Yeah.
While you're pulling up the notes again, I fucking got some news for you.
All right.
Fucking Roadhouse.
Yeah, this one's not really comic related at all. But.
No, but dude, it's fucking awesome related. Fucking they are remaking the international hit sensation Roadhouse.
Is Patrick Swayze going to be in it again?
Fuck.
Afterlife with Patrick?
only if there's some sort of homage to Weekend at Bernie's in the movie.
Oh, God.
So mean.
Oh, I can... I'm already in my own world. I can watch the trailer for Afterlife with Archie.
The trailer?
Yeah. We're going to have fun with this after we get off the air.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Okay,
X-23 is hooking up with Cyclops.
Yep, lucky bastard.
At least the cover of X-Men number 20 shows that, but it's one of those things, it's okay, it's cover, but that probably has nothing to do with what's in the book.
Yeah, more than likely. Well, yeah, but I mean, like, we talked with, I know, like, Andrzejowski a while back when we were at Motor City, and we've talked to cover artists beyond that, where a lot of times they send out the solicitations for covers and just go, just draw this. And they may not even have the plot, let alone the story written. So you never know.
Why'd she got her claws out? That seems like a dangerous kiss.
I don't know. Why has he got his eyes open? Tony, we talked about Sandman here. Was it last week or the week before when the new Sandman book came out? Week before. Looks like the Sandman movie might actually be getting made.
And out of any of those movies, it just has such a huge following. Like, I've tried to get you to read it. I know that there are some hit and misses within it, but once you read the whole epic of all 75 of them, you're just like,
I just need to start at issue one.
Yeah.
Like, I need to go back.
And you're just like, that was a fucking magnificent opus. Like, that was just a great series. And I love that. I mean, Neil Gaiman's been trying to get the movie made for a while, and now it's looks like it might actually happen. It's got more, you know, backing now with all the comic book movies and stuff, because he's known that it will be shitty, and he doesn't want to have a shitty movie, so he's kind of put his foot down a couple times. But he's like, it's going to cost money. It will probably be something that we need to do, you know, a three-chapter, make sure that's set up, because there's a lot to invest in with these characters. I can't wait. Hopefully this is not a rumor.
It was interesting, though, at least the beginning stages reportedly have Joseph Gordon-Levitt, a.k.a. Robin, from, you know, the last Batman movie, that he's involved in some way, shape, or form. So that's kind of interesting to me, you know, that Robin is in there.
Yeah, and it could be either he's into, you know, going to be a character in it. I don't see him being Dream or Morpheus, but, yeah. Or he could just be someone that was a huge fan that's like, I want to somehow get my connections to make this happen.
Yeah.
Other people that are making connections happen with who they are.
Batman.
And Matt Damon.
Yeah. I love that clip. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are adapting DC Comics book Sleeper from Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips.
Who?
Yep.
Sleeper?
Sleeper. Yeah. I honestly don't know a whole lot of this, but if I'm remembering correctly, I think it came out of one of the Wildstorm books after DC acquired that from Image. But we'll talk more on that after we know more.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm happier with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon versus the combo that the original had Sam Raimi and Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I love Sam Raimi. Not Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. Yeah. Actually, speaking of, since we're on the Batman subject, there is a book coming out through Vertigo that is going to be done by Paul Dini and Eduardo Risso. That's going to be a Batman, like, character-related book in the Vertigo line.
Wow, that's unexpected.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, and that's going to be something interesting to see, I think. I don't really know anything more than that, you know. But I heard about that, and I'm like, that could be really cool. And Tony, you and I were talking about it, like, beforehand, how it's one of the nice things with that is it can be totally out of continuity from the new 52 universe.
Yeah, and kill some people, let the story, you know, just take its own turns down the murky road of Vertigo-ness.
Yeah. Tony, what else did you find this week?
So, here's, like, my big, I'm happy, but I'm pissed type things. I love movies. Love comic books. I love that they're making comic book movies. They can't make enough of them. But they can. I don't want to see them overdoing too many movies, and then that's all that Hollywood is now, is comic books. Because I want to see some original movies.
Well, Hollywood ran out of novels.
Well, and they've ran out of ideas since they keep rebooting things. So I guess if this is the only thing we're going to get that's newer...
And TV shows.
Yeah. Then, what? Like, fuck, man. They need to just get writers to make movies, because that's what they need. But what Sony's doing is in the new Spider-Man movie, they are just throwing anyone that they can cameos into this. They want to do what Marvel did and have a huge expanded universe. They want to have, like, split off, like, movies, like, possibly have a standalone Venom movie, maybe a Scarlet Spider-Man. They're doing, and that's what I've heard, they already have definitely two more Spider-Man movies down on pen and paper that they're going to do. They're introducing a bunch of characters already in this Spider-Man, but they're, you know, Sinister Six probably coming down the road, yeah. Cloak and Dagger. I would like to see that, but when's enough?
Have they mentioned who they're going to, who they can throw in?
Anything that's related to Spider-Man.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's a question of, like, I mean, it's Cloak and Dagger. Are they Spider-Man? Because Punisher first appeared in Spider-Man, but, you know, does Sony own the rights to the Punisher? I don't think they do.
I don't. Yeah, I know that they don't, because that went back to Marvel. But
so that's why I'm asking. Like, who do they have the rights to?
Well, and villains. I mean, like villains. Synonymous with one character have been villains in other books too,
right?
So I thought eventually, like, Marvel would put the clamps down on what other characters that Sony could put in their movies.
Ultimately, I think it comes down to some lawyers in the room that are going to be like, "Well, it first appeared here, but this creator created it here," and ultimately, we all lose because they're fighting in the back room.
What was it? Was it Amazing Spider-Man number 50? First appearance of Kingpin, but yet he's already been tied in with a Daredevil movie, which that's now gone back to Marvel. So is the Kingpin a Daredevil villain? And is he owned under that franchise, or is he owned, you know?
Well, see, though, it could go down to with Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. They're jumping X-Men ship to Avengers ship.
they're jumping the shark?
Yeah. So, yeah, who knows how that... And that's just where... I don't know. Just throw my two bits out there. Fuck copyright and all this stuff. When it comes to these things, let the characters be in whatever movies it is if it makes sense for the storyline. Don't throw a bunch of shit at us. But if it progresses and Cloak and Dagger shows up in this, but then they also show up in Avengers, let it happen.
Yeah. Yep. Some Image news. The Image announced a bunch of new books coming out. There's a new book from Joseph Michael Linsner coming out called Sin Boldly, which you guys know I'm a Linsner fan, so I'm, you know, I never know with him. Krampus, Tony, you were talking about that earlier.
Oh yeah,
that's interesting. The Fuse, I mean, and there's going to be like. Oh, just a lot of really good stuff, and my tablet just freaking froze up on me. So you'll have to like continue on with this one, Tony. Like who doing other titles and stuff like that if you've got it. But yeah, there's a bunch of new stuff coming out there.
Yeah. Krampus. That seems like the most interesting to me, especially since the holiday season is coming around. The brief description here is when the secret society of Santa Clauses find their powers stolen, they have no choice but to turn to their worst enemy.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, I'll definitely pick up that book. Just talking to you about it,
it's coming weird, coming out December 11th, cause a couple weeks from now.
Yeah, oh, here we go. It's coming back up. Brian Joynes, the guy that does Imagine Agents, who I actually had the pleasure of hanging out and chatting with here a couple weeks back at Detroit Fan Fair. Looks like he's doing it. So that's kind of cool. That's probably one of those things that he was working on that he couldn't talk about, which was the problem at that convention. Everybody's like, I got stuff coming, but I can't talk about it. It was like within a week to 2 weeks, everything's just, boom, there it is.
Well, I totally agree with this. Hugh Jackman is speaking out that comic book movies should get, you know, some kiddish consideration at the Oscars,
yeah,
or at any of the movie things. And I don't see why he even needs to do that. If it's a great movie, have it be nominated for stuff.
I think what he's basically saying is that he's sick of seeing it get snubbed just because it's a comic book movie. People are like, oh, whatever. You know, but then again, that goes right in with the fact that comic books are often overlooked when it comes to them being like as art or as literature. You know, they're like, oh well, the comics are for kids. Comic book movies are for kids. They can't really be.
Yeah, and it, a lot of this always resolves around The Dark Knight, because to me that was the best movie that summer. Heath Ledger in it, just all the acting in it, but with him as well. And they gave it to him posthumously, best actor for it. I don't know if I think they would have just overlooked it had he not, you know, passed away. They probably wouldn't have even nominated him, because they would have been like, oh, he's just, you know, comic book actor. But it was a fucking brilliant performance. Yeah. And I think that's what they just need to stop doing, is saying, okay, it's Batman, it's the Avengers, whatever. No, look at what it is. And
well, yeah, remove yourself from the fact that maybe somebody's wearing a cape.
Yeah.
You know. But
I got some good news for you guys. You guys like free shit, don't you?
No.
All right, then. I'm not.
There's probably a reason why it's free, so.
DC is doing a Black Friday / Cyber Monday / a week's worth of free number one digital downloads this week. Starting Tuesday, November 26th, and these are each for 24-hour periods, so you can go to Comixology, you can go to Amazon, you can go anywhere, you can get digital prints, and they're going to just be free. You can get Legends of the Dark Knight number one. On Wednesday, you can get Batman 66 number one. Thursday, you can get Vampire Diaries number one. Looking forward to that one. Friday, you can get Smallville number one. Saturday, you can get Batman Beyond number one. Sunday, you can get Batman Little Gotham number one. And then on Monday, Adventures of Superman number one.
I thought you were going to mix it up and tell me number 27. Or
No, it's just all starting
on another Batman book. Like, apparently they don't want you to read anything but Batman and Superman. That's it.
No, I said Vampire Diaries, duh.
Okay. Yeah. And people wonder why Aquaman gets no love. Fuck you, DC. Put some Aquaman out there.
But, you know, I'm hoping that maybe we might start hearing, you know, a couple other, because wasn't it last year when they did the whole Marvel did the whole, like, all those, and crashed the servers?
Yeah,
it
killed the fucking
server. So I like that they're just like, yeah, we're just doing one a day, and
yeah,
just going to do that, which, so free's free. So for some of those people that haven't picked up, I'll probably do the Batman 66 just because I know you revealed it, and it
was good.
Seemed kind of
like
good.
I will probably pick it up just so I have the digital copy of it. Same with Lil Gotham. You know, I bought those anyway, so it's just kind of nice that I'll.
Did you ever pick up any more Lil Gothams?
No.
No. The first one did not do it for me.
Most of the all ages are not necessarily for me. But yeah. One quick thing that I just want to mention. Listeners, go out and look up the fact that that Maggie Thompson, who was part of the creator of Comics Buyer's Guide, has put up over 500 of her comics up for auction. Go search that shit out. It's just an interesting read. ABCnews.com had a thing on it.
That was – oh, yeah, that's – a great collection for what they have.
There's too much to talk about here
today. There is one quick thing I do need to mention, just because it's fucking amazing that a huge company kind of hid something in plain sight. It's a contest from Valiant called the Unity Number One Golden Tickets Contest, where five lucky comic shops across the U.S. Got some pull box exclusive variants that had on there hashtag golden ticket above the UPC box. Those lucky people that picked up those books are getting invited to go to New York Comic-Con next year, go to the Valiant offices, have dinner with their editorial staff, hold swag bags and everything. And normally when they do contests, they let you know a contest is coming out. I love that they just did this. It was something that people have already picked up, so these are already taken. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more people going back to comic book shops now to be like, I want to go try to find, you know, that one book, that rare golden ticket.
I'm gonna.
Yeah. And it's great that they actually just waited a week after it came out to it. And the book was just amazing as it is, but I'm loving what Valiant's doing.
Well, there's a double-sided thing here. Number one, by releasing the information later, there's a lot of people that will never hear about it, so it's possible they won't ever even have to pay out on their contest. That's one of the big things. Number two, thank you for any company, Valiant in this case, huge nod to you, for rewarding your customers that buy print.
Yes.
Because obviously you're not going to have the UPC code on a fucking digital download. Mm-hmm. So thank you, thank you, thank you for those of us that love print more than digital. Yeah. All right. That does it for news?
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Let's do Indie Turnpike.
All right. Quickly, because I know that we got chatty today. This week on the Indie Turnpike, I've got Sex Criminals, number 3, from Image Comics, by Matt Fraction and Chip Zdarsky. And this book, Sex Criminals, number 1, obviously not aimed at children by any means. There's definitely a lot of adult things in here, but it's not gratuitous. Mostly why I'm bringing this up is that this book is just fucking crazy fun from a number of reasons.
Is it sex criminals? Do they like steal virginity or something?
No, actually what it is that there's two people in here. You've got John and you've got Susie, who found out separately that when they come to climax, that time stops for them. And so it's always been like their partner is stuck with the O-face and they're still going, which has got to be really awkward. But but yeah, so but time stops. So they decide that they're going to rob a bank because the library that Susie works for needs money. Otherwise, it's going to get foreclosed and just torn down. And so they bang in a bathroom and time stops. But the cool thing is there are other people who can walk through what they call the quiet. And there's a lot of flashback stuff in here, kind of the lead up to this point. The great thing about this book is just how much fun Zdarsky and Fraction are having. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous. There's a fucking dance number in here where they wanted to do Fat Bottom Girls from Queen. But they had it all done with the lyrics and everything in there. And whether or not this is true, they break the fourth wall in this constantly with the character of Susie. But Fraction and Zdarsky totally break it because they put basically what looks like little post-it notes over the word balloons going, yeah, so we didn't quite get all the legal stuff taken care of to print these lyrics in time. When we sent the papers out and stuff. You know, I always wanted to do a musical number. I don't know. Maybe by the time the trade comes out, we'll be able to actually put these lyrics in there. And so it's like pages of them just rambling about shit.
That's kind of funny.
It's fucking awesome. Here's another interesting point that is them just putting a big couple fingers up and saying, screw you, there shouldn't be a problem with this. Because a month ago, Sex Criminals had the second issue of the comic, like, denied from the Comixology app because of Apple.
What?
It doesn't fit their quote-unquote criteria, which is weird and doesn't make sense. Like, a similar thing happened a while back with one of the issues of Saga because there was one small panel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
So we have Nazis, censor Nazis now?
Yeah, like, I mean, there is a nipple in this book, but that's it. I mean, and they do go into a sex shop, but you don't see anything. There's nothing gratuitous in this book. And so it's funny because not only did the, and then they rejected issue 3, and then they retroactively pulled issue 1. Off the digital. And so one of the really fun things in here is that right in the very front at the bottom says, this book is dedicated to Apple Incorporated, eternal home of our fourth favorite jobs in the world. And then in that dance scene that I was mentioning, there's like they're talking about how they got the they weren't available to do it for trade, But there's one of the little post-it notes in here. It says, banned by iTunes, sued by Queen. So, you know, nice job, guys, for sticking to your guns and saying, hey, you know, because it's not a gratuitous book. And, I mean, I'm sorry, if you're going to have things that are just disgustingly violent and gruesome, then there's no reason that this shouldn't be in there just because a guy gets smacked in the mouth with a giant dildo. Go pick this book up, find it at issue one, and keep reading. That's all I'm saying on that one. That two mugs up on that. So.
All right. What do we have left to do?
Just booze in a book and last call.
Okay.
Right. Booze in a book this week in honor of Kevin. My booze in a book is from a book that came out last week.
Kevin who?
Kevin you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because this book I thought came out this week, but it didn't. It came out last. but booze in a book this week. I have got Wraith number one, a prologue, Phantom, from IDW, written by Joe Hill, art by Charles P. Wilson III, and colors by Jay Photos. And I'm pairing this with a beer from Shorts Brewery called OMGWTFBBQ. And what that beer is, it's an experimental beer brewed with tomatoes, spices, and it's dry hopped with smoked hops. And it's got a ABV, alcohol by volume, of 6.7%.
What's the IBU on it?
You know, I don't remember off the top of my head. But it's not super high on there. But I gave both of these a shot on a whim, the beer and the book, and I got to say I was actually pleasantly surprised on both. They're definitely not for everyone, but if you're willing to try something new and you like unique comics and beer that are a little spicy, pretty dark, and they got a wicked bite, you should seek both of them out.
What was that beer called again?
OMGWTFBBQ.
WTF indeed.
Yeah. No, but it's spicy, like peppery spicy.
That cover is fucked up.
Yeah, this is the subscription variant.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's crazy because there's no title. There's nothing on the cover.
No, no.
There's drawings
on
the cover.
Well, other than the fact that, like, if you know Joe Hill and the Nosferatu license plate, you know that was a separate title. So, but yeah, I'd say go give both of them a shot.
All right.
Last call, guys?
Yep.
What do you got?
Superior Spider-Man Annual. Oh, man. I wanted to almost talk about that because it is really... Most annuals, you don't need to read them, but they do sometimes expand the universes sometimes. Mm. This is really kind of showing where Peter Parker's going, or Spock. Peter Parker, Octopus, whatever.
Spocktopus?
Yeah. It's...
Shameless plug, if you want to know more about it, there is a review up on drunkoncomics.com
right now
about it. So,
Longshot still saving the universe and getting some underboob action.
Yeah, that cover, he's definitely getting a little handsy with Dazzler. the Harley Quinn number zero, interesting. I'll leave it up to...
Yeah, honestly, I saw it and I'm like...
Every page is like written and drawn by somebody different.
Yeah, as I was saying earlier, it was good, but it was there's one thing I wish they wouldn't have done. Had they just did straight up each page being its single story or whatever what it was, it's great. But what they do is you have Harley talking to you as if she's Deadpool, talking to the reader, breaking the fourth wall. To go on to the next page, and obviously she's kind of introducing, oh, but let's see how this person would draw me and stuff. It just made it very contrived and just not great. However, I did like what it said, and we will not break the fourth wall, pick up issue number one on stands in 2 weeks. I was like, okay, I'll pick that up.
Daredevil number 33, if you haven't been reading this, don't jump on at this point. I still liked it, but it wasn't the best issue.
Wow, that's something from you.
I'm honest.
Forever Evil Rogues Rebellion, still another Forever Evil title that I will.
Yeah,
throw cash at.
Well, and we skipped over. There's going to be a solo story of a character coming out of that Forever Evil story.
Oh,
sometime soon. We don't know who. Imagine Agents number two from Brian Jones, who I was talking about earlier, Boom Studios. Our good buddy Dirk Manning, his second book of The Legend of Oz, The Wicked West, came out, which it's issue 13.
Fantastic Four, number 14. God, man, I love that family. I want to be adopted by them.
Uncanny X-Men, number 14. Another character came out in this issue.
Oh.
So.
Came out of where?
Out of nowhere, because they teleported.
Oh. All right, so Infinity's going to end next week, and this issue number 23 of Avengers just kind of is like just teasing me so much to get to that point. The Avengers are finally back on Earth. They're finally going to take care of Thanos. It was good. And then Cataclysm, which is going on in the Ultimate Universe, is another huge, very, so far, well-done tie-in. Like, before, whenever you'd have these giant books, like the AVX ones, you had the main book, and then you had all these other stories that kind of jumped in and out, but were not really needing to read. These are very well thought out, tied in, where this one for the Ultimates came off of what happened in the just a standalone issue.
Terrible title, though.
What? Cataclysm Ultimate Comics to Ultimates?
Yeah.
Yeah, too wordy.
Yeah.
It is okay. A lot of doom and gloom. It reminds me a lot of what was happening in Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
It's basically Age of Ultron, swap out Ultron, pop in Galactus Swarm, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm still going to pick them up, but that's what it's turning out to be right now. In terms of the aside from the primary story, which I think is just called
Cataclysm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, man, yes, you summed up pretty good. The only one I'm going to throw in there is Green Lantern New Guardians 25. So, honestly, I don't know. Now that this huge story arc is over with Relic and I forget what the story arc was called. The
Blackout.
Blackout, thank you. Did
you black out?
I did. I didn't think I was going to really... I think I was actually going to jump off for a bit because of all the... Because, you know, I want to pick up some other stuff. But I think this is actually a nice story arc, and I might continue reading this book because, fortunately, they're not... All of these Red Lantern stories are all converging together where you have to buy each book. Thank God they're not doing that. Again, Green Lantern's New Guardians, 25.
Cool. Supergirl, number 25. I'm still jumping on board with this.
Now, are you reading any of the other Krypton Returns books? So this was fine as a standalone?
Well, I'm just still trying to figure out what's going on with the Supergirl character. Like, issue 24 is where I jumped on,
okay,
knowing nothing. So, yeah, I'm okay with it. You know,
I'm still picking up Supergirl.
Yep. You know, it was one of those things that after Villains Month, I got interested and wanted to know more about the character. So, you know, although they totally switched up creative team on this one from the last issue, and that screwed with me. There were one guy that did the plot and three guys that did the script. And I'm like, that's a lot of writers. Yeah. Then the last one I had was Zero, number 3. So,
still super violent?
I'll let you decide. All right, guys, that does it for me.
That does it for me.
That was action packed.
Yeah, we.
It was like Roadhouse.
We put 10 pounds of shit in a 5 pound bag today. All right, I'm Derek.
I'm Kevin.
That's gonna screw people.
Tony.
Up. I'm Matt. Who's not even here?
I'm Matt Damon.
All right, guys, keep reading your comic books. We'll be back next week to talk to you about them then. See ya.
Apocalypse.